It is good to be out to the house of the Lord. If you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans again. Turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. By the way, these letters were written to the Christian. Amen? When Paul wrote his letter to Rome, he wrote it to the Christian. And tonight I'm going to take you to a mountaintop passage. Now, all the Bible's good. Nod your head at me. But I want you to know there's some mountaintop passages, such as Isaiah 53, Psalm 23, Hebrews 11, Philippians 4, John chapter number 3. But if I could point you to a mountaintop passage, the book of Romans chapter 5, and I want to read this one paragraph in verses 6 through 11, and I want to preach tonight on this thought. Now, I preached on sin this morning. And by the way, what I preached this morning was right. Amen. Amen. But tonight I want to preach on this subject. Boy, I'm about to shout at my own preaching right now. Amen. You know what I think? I really do. I know we're all wrapped up in problems. I know that during this pandemic we're all preoccupied with all this junk. And I think too much so. I mean, some people done took it to the Olympic level. I mean, Lord have mercy. I mean, they don't want, hey, I know we all preoccupied, but we ought not to get so preoccupied that we forget what he done for us. I want you to know something. I can tell you some little story and maybe make you laugh, maybe make you feel a little bubbly, but there's nothing greater than what God done for you in and through Jesus Christ. Amen. Ain't nothing greater. Say amen. Romans chapter 5, are you there? Will you stand to your feet and let's read this? Then I'm going to have you read two words with me in verse number 8. But I want to read these few verses from verse 6 down to verse 11. Amen. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Listen to what the Bible said. For when we... Now, that's talking to Christians. This is more than just a salvation message, though this could be applied to a salvation message, but he wasn't speaking to sinners. He was speaking we. Now, hold a minute. Why did he do that? He wanted to remind you what you were and what he done. And you know what I think? I think we ought to be reminded of what we were and what he done every day of our life. And if we did that, we had some joy about us. We had some worship about us. We had some shout about us. Whew. I'm going to preach tonight. I feel a little bit coming on. Look at verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But I like that Holy Ghost conjunction. God commended his love toward us. Toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This thing gets better. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we joy in God. Don't let anybody take your joy away. And by the way, if your joy's on temporal things and your joy's on how you think people ought to treat you, they'll probably take it away. But if your joy's built on the gospel of Christ and built on what God does, ain't nothing can take that joy away. I feel so good. Let me go on. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Our Father, Lord, please help me to preach with fervency, with power, with passion, with purpose. Oh my God, Lord, I help our folks enter into these verses. Help our people realize that's where we were. Every one of us in this room. Everyone that's listening to me by the way of live stream, that's where we were. And God help us tonight. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. I want you to do something for me. I think you can do this without spreading germs. And I'm getting sick of saying that anyway. But look at verse 8. And what I'm going to do is read it again. And when I get down to those last two words, I want you to, best you can, let it rip behind your mask. Ready? But God committeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ. I want you to say them last two words again. That wasn't very good. Go it again. I don't care if you spit germs on me. Thank God. I want to preach this tonight. He done it all for me. See, our churches have got so used to us entertaining them. And some preacher get up and tell a bunch of jokes and a bunch of real fluffy stories, and then they leave. Somebody help me preach right there. And it may sound good, and it may make you feel good, but when you get out of here, it won't last you 10 minutes. But if you get into the doctrine of what the Word of God says, and it finally dawns on you that you couldn't do nothing, but he done it all for you. I'll give you three things. We'll go home. Maybe. Look at verses 6 through 10. I want you to notice, and I preached a lot on sin this morning, the sinner's pitiful condition. Look what it says in verse number 6, verse number 8, and verse number 10. Here's what it says. In verse number 6, it says we were without strength. In verse number 6, it said we were ungodly. In verse number 8, it said we were sinners. In verse number 10, it says we were enemies. That was our pitiful condition. Let me say four things about that. First of all, the sinner was a weak man. He was without strength. For any of you that think that you saved yourself and done anything to save yourself, you're absolutely wrong. Because you had no strength to save yourself. Now, I want all y'all to know, buckle down, Chad. I'm preaching on sovereignty tonight. And by the way, you can preach on sovereignty without being a five-point Calvinist. Old-fashioned Baptists believe in sovereignty. And when I'm talking about sovereignty, I'm talking about a sovereign God who before the world began planning your salvation and then sent his son to die on Christ, die for you, and then he sent his Holy Spirit to convict you of your sin. That was started in eternity past, continues in time present, and will last forevermore. Oh, God. A word without strength means powerless, utterly helpless, with no means of escape. The idea is the lost sinner stands before God with no ability to change what he was. Somebody help me. He is powerless to escape sin. He is powerless to escape death. Come on, he's powerless to resist the devil. We were powerless to please God, but I'm glad that God put my sin upon him. When I could not come to him, he came to me. We were so weakened by sin. See, we can't magnify his great salvation if we put ourselves in this thing. If we say we mustered up something, we've done something. Do you know the faith that you even believe with was given to you? All of us be hell-bound if he didn't put the Holy Ghost there in our life and reveal the Word of God to us because we're so weak. Amen. Then let me go a step further. Woo! Verse 6, not only is he a weak man, y'all with me? In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He was a wicked man. The word ungodly means without reverence, for or fear of God. Or let me say it this way. To live your life as if God did not exist. I lived that way. I lived like he was just a figment of my imagination. I lived like he did. Actually, what I was a practical atheist. I wasn't an atheist. I believed in God, but I was a practical atheist because I didn't pay attention to him. I was ungodly. I didn't have much fear of him. I just lived like a devil. That's actually pitiful. Amen. Now, I'm making a statement here. You hear me? I want you to hear this. To be ungodly doesn't mean that you wallowed in sin. Now listen, the unsaved church member is as wicked as Adolf Hitler. The five-year-old child that falls under conviction and gets saved that never experienced liquor or anything else is just as wicked as Hitler. And it took the same grace to save a five-year-old, but as it does an old, rotten, filthy drunk. Amen. Then verse 8. Boy, I'm enjoying this. Woo. Verse 8, the sinner's a wayward man. He's a sinner. What that means, he misses the mark. It carries the idea of an archer trying to hit a bullseye. And that bullseye is perfect righteousness from the cradle to the grave. Can I tell you something? Unless your righteousness is from the cradle to the grave, you cannot satisfy God. And there ain't a man, woman, or boy and girl in this room could satisfy God because we were unrighteous. Amen. No matter how good we tried to be, we couldn't be good enough. Hey, no matter how high we aimed, we couldn't reach it. No matter how we set our standards, we always fall short of God's standard. I'm going to say this to you. I read this from somebody. To me, almost right is to be forever wrong. Somebody help me preach right there. Ain't nothing you can do. Not a work you can do. Now, I'm going to preach it straight. Most of the denominations are preaching a work salvation. And I want y'all to know something. If they're trusting their works religion, they're going to hell. If they're trusting because they were baptized that they're going to heaven, they're not going to heaven. If they're trusting a good work to get them to heaven, they're not going to heaven. See, we can't get high enough. We can't do enough. That's why you need to know he did it all for you. It wasn't nothing you done. It ain't nothing you added to it. Ain't nothing you. Hey, you didn't bring anything on your plate but an empty plate, a depraved plate, a dirty plate. But thank God he looked beyond your fault and saw your need. Am I all right, Chad? Well, let me go a little further. In verse number 10, the Bible said now that it goes further with us. For when we were sinners, we were warlike. Not only wayward, we were warlike. We were adversaries. We were in the devil's camp. He was our father. I hear people say, well, I wasn't that bad a person. Well, I'll tell you how bad you were. You were wicked. You were ungodly. You were wayward. You were an enemy. You hated God. You were against God. You were in the devil's camp, following the devil as quick as you could, and you was on the way to a devil's hell. That's how bad you were. Some people say, well, I never did what you did. But you were what I was. You were an enemy. My daughter was saved when she was 5 years old. She was a five-year-old enemy. She was wayward. She was ungodly. Somebody help me preach. See, we don't fathom it. See, you know what? We don't rejoice. We just think we were somebody that decided one day that we'd just be all right. Listen, we were not all right. It took a thrice holy God to love you and come where you are and die for you and care for you even while you were yet sinners.
Dear God, you're helping.
Oh, I'm trying. Amen. Number two, let me cover some more of this paragraph. Look at 6-8 again. And I want you to notice second thing. I want you to notice the Savior's priceless compassion. Oh, I like this. For when we were yet without sin or strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man for one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare die. Listen to this. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that we were, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want to talk first of all about the superiority of his compassion. The superiority. Now, what it says here, Mace, it gives a couple illustrations, Lois. I was kind of fascinated with them. It said, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Now, I thought that over. I think that I would die for my children. I would. I would die for my wife. I believe I'd die for my father-in-law. But I don't know how far that list goes. Hello?
Yes, sir.
I remember a story of a man named James F. Kidd. Mr. Kidd had a son that was in the military at Fort Bragg. He went to visit his son, and while he was there, they went out to an Italian restaurant to eat. And while they were there, a mad gunman came in to the restaurant and killed 11 people. Just butchered them. And I tell you what James Kidd did. James Kidd, his boy, military boy, got him down under the table and laid on top of his boy and took his boy's bullet and died for him. We see military people do it for their comrades, but it's rare. But you know what God done? He didn't die for somebody he liked. He didn't die for somebody that was good. He didn't die for somebody that was kin to him. He died for devil's children. He died for wayward children. He died for wicked children. He died for bad children. He commended his love towards us while we were all yet sinners. Christ died for us. Next time you have your pity party, next time you have it, you look up at him and say, well, what you done didn't mean nothing. Am I preaching? Whew. I heard a story in West Virginia. I read this. I think it was in Boone County, but it may have been another county, where there was two miners that were trapped in a mine. Pastor Chad and I'm sure all of you can read the story. I think you can find it on Google. And they all both had masks, but when that thing caved in, they got their mask and they found out that one of the masks didn't work. So the young man that was single gave his mask to a man that was married and have kids. See, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare die. But ladies and gentlemen, we were enemies. We were wayward. There was nothing about us that was good, but Christ Jesus went to Calvary's cross and died for you. Amen. Oh, happy day. The statement in his compassion, when were we yet sinners? Now, I'm not proud of this, and I'm not one that gets up and brags about sin. I'm just not that way. But I want to talk to you that's listening by way of live stream. Why you got that needle in your arm right now and get ready to get a fix, my God loves you. Why you, hey sir, you that have that glass of alcohol and you're going to waste yourself tonight, I want you to know why you're doing it. God loves you. I want you to know some of you that got your little computer and you're ready to watch pornography. Why you're doing your filth, there's a God that loves you. So, he loves me when I'm up. He loves me when I'm down. He loves me when I'm in. He loves me when I'm out. Oh, I got a God. He loves me. Lastly, I'm done. That just means I'm starting my last point. Look at verses 9 through 11. Stay with me in the paragraph. I want to talk lastly about the saints' precious conversion. Much more then, being now justified by his blood. Now you say, what's that mean? That means you've been declared righteous. And I want to say this about justification. It's a judicial act and not an experiential act. Justification. Are you listening? You know what the judge of heaven done? He ruled not guilty. Let me illustrate. I am about to get happy. See, I'm justified. Really, what that means is I'm not guilty. Now, listen, it's like a man that goes to court who is guilty, that the prosecutor knows he's guilty, the defense attorney knows he's guilty, and the judge knows he's guilty. But the jury finds him innocent or not guilty. You know something? God knows I'm guilty. And by the way, I was declared righteous and not made righteous. There's a big difference. I am still a sinner. I'm still a sinner. The only difference now is I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I'm justified as if I never sinned, though I am still a sinner. Whew. He was made sin for me.
Yes, sir, preacher.
Now I'll give you this. I want to tell you what I really believe now. I really believe the devil goes before heaven and accuses the brother. Still yet. Still yet. Do you believe that? Hey, sir, he went up there before some of y'all this week when you wasn't real good. Somebody help me. He went up there and accused you last week. But you have an advocate. You have an intercessor that pleaded your case. And when God looks at you now, he doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see your waywardness. He sees his son's righteousness. Whew. Some of y'all, if you ain't shouting outside, you ought to be having a little bit on the inside. Let me go on. Not only our position, our protection. Look at the verse. Let's stay with me. I'm preaching right from the Bible. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Let me say two things. Number one, it is impossible for you to go to hell after you've been saved. God put his full wrath on his son that I could go free. Can't go to hell. You said you shouldn't preach that. You'll give people a license to see it. I beg your pardon. It ought to give you a license to live better. Amen. It's Social Security doesn't give you a license to see it. It gives you victory in Christ. Amen. But I am glad when I fall, I'm not utterly cast down. I am glad that my sins are as far away as the east is from the west. I tell you how far away they are, Jeremy, they're blotted out. They're gone. And God put a no fishing sign out there. They're in the sea of forgetfulness. Now, I'm going to tell you what now. Some of my Baptist friends that don't believe right, this is for you. Amen. And all others. When he said he's saved from wrath to come, he wasn't just talking about hell. He was talking about us not ever having to go through the tribulation period. Now, I want y'all to know something. That may not mean much to you right now, but I believe we're 11:59 on God's timetable. Now, I don't want to be negative, Richard. I've been positive whole sermon. But I think this country's about done. We're just about done. I believe that God's probably close to just closing the door on us. But when he starts closing the door on us, there's a verse over Revelation, and there was a door of heaven open. He's getting ready to open the door for us to get raptured out of here. And I'm not going through 7 seconds of the tribulation because I'm saved from wrath to come. All right. Number 3, look at verse 10. I'm almost done. I'm trying to get done. Whew. For if when we were enemies, We were reconciled to God. Now write that word down so I can tell you what it means. Thirdly, he gives us our peace. Reconcile means to take enemies and make them friends. Whew. I don't think that got y'all. I was God's enemy. But now I'm his friend. He smiles on me. He favors me. He loves me. He considers me. He supplies my needs. He's altogether for me. Woo! He's my friend. Thank God. And by the way, he ain't a friend that'll stab you in the back. He ain't a friend that'll forsake you. He's a friend that loves us all times. He's a friend that cares. Somebody help me preach. And that ought to give you a peace. I want you to know what John Smith's going to do tonight. I'm going to go lay down probably about 11 o'clock. I'm going to put my head on a pillow. And I'm not going to worry about where I am the next day. Because I have peace with God. And if I pass on, I'm in heaven. If he raptures me, I'm in heaven. What do you mean? Heads I win and tails I win. Woo! To live is Christ, but die is gain. I'm on the winning side. Jeremy, Brittany, I'm not trying to be emotional with y'all. I know how much you've been through. Okay? But those two little people that God chose to take to heaven, that was in you. Oh, help me, Lord. You're going to see them again. I think people say, do you really believe it? Well, let me ask you if you believe it. Let me ask you if you believe it. Read Psalms 139 when you go home tonight, and it said all of our members was in his book. I believe every aborted baby, every baby that died in miscarriage, every two-year-old, three-year-old that passed on to the other place, I want you to know where they're at. They're in heaven right now. Oh, glory to God. That ought to give you some peace right now. That gives me some peace right now. Hallelujah. Woo. I cried all week for y'all. Then one day, I had to tell you both, I shouted. Because I started thinking about the day when you have those two babies and they're in your arms and they're going to know y'all daddy and mommy.
Yes, sir.
I know I ain't supposed to be down here, dear God. That's what happens when you get kind of in the way to preaching. Amen. See, we're friends of God. Let me go on. Verse 10, our preservation. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled of God to God by the death of his son. Listen to this. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You know why I know I'm saved? Because he ever liveth to make intercession for me. He's interceding for me. Glory. Then I want you to notice verse 11. I'm trying to wind down. Don't you like it when it's right in the Bible and you follow it? Look at here. And not only so, isn't that good? But we joy also in God. But we also joy in God. I'm sorry. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our praise. Whew. He said, what are you praising him for? I was wayward. I was wicked. I was an enemy. But now I'm his friend. And you know, some of you, have you lost your shout? You people on live stream, have you lost your desire and your shout? Don't let this pandemic steal that away from you. You ought to read what I read here this evening and shout glory. I was up my, I'll tell you what I've done today. I'm a disciplined guy. I want all y'all to know. I know by my weight you wouldn't think I am, but I am. I work hard at what I do. Prepare messages. I studied all week, Chad, but I went home, ate a little piece of fish, came back to the office about 1:30, and I've been there all day. So what have you been there all day about? I've been there. I'll tell you what I've been doing. I just brushed over that because I pretty well had it. But it was so good. It was so good that I started praising. And you know, when y'all's not in the office, I ain't gonna get disturbed. Y'all think I'm having a stroke or a heart attack when I get crazy. I just start shouting, rejoicing. I mean, it's not because all my circumstances are good. I got a boy he's heading for surgery. May have to have another one. So circumstances are not the best in the world in Smith House right now. My father-in-law, he's in and out all the time. Circumstances not good, but I want you to know my position is Christ. It's the same. I am happy as I can be. I rejoice in God. I'm looking back at what he's done for me, and he's done it all for me. I'll finish. Then verse 11b. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. That's our privilege. We were given the atonement. And actually what the word atonement means, it means made one with God. I'm flesh of his flesh. I'm bone of his bone. I'm somewhere in the body. Someone help me preach. What a privilege. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. I'm a king's kid, and I got a lot to be shouting about. And you know, if you're here tonight and not saved, all this was done for you. And if you here are saved, you ought to find somewhere in the auditorium. Just go up against the wall and praise him. Praise him. Joy in God. Our Father, as our folks stand and Lois comes, help us to worship a moment. Help us to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. As you're standing, anybody here lost tonight? If you're lost, will you raise your hand and say, I'm not saved? If you're not saved, raise your hand and tell me. I think everybody's been saved. But if you just want to come up and worship a little bit, there's folks coming. Just thanking him for what he done. And you probably can do it in a good social distance way.